All right. Well, let's go into John chapter 8. Last Sunday, let me read something to you real quick, though. And Lynn, you're going to love this. Lynn loves numbers, don't you? Yeah. And you're going to love this. Seven times was seven the number of completion. That's God's number, right? 7 days. The earth was 6 days, earth creates, 7 days rest. So anytime you see seven, that number is the number of completion. This is why you see 666, the Antichrist number. Six is the number of man. Okay? Man would not have any rest had God not had the seventh day and said, you know, and it's interesting how God created everything. He did it all. The last thing he did was create the man. And the first thing he told the man to do was rest. Wow, I like this guy. I like this God. You know, we didn't have to do anything. He just put us in the garden and said, have at it. Live life abundantly. And that's what he's telling us today, the same thing. We have that same abundant life. We just don't see it. Because we're always worried about tomorrow and money issues and family issues and finances and whatever else is bothering you just comes in like a flood. But what does God say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. That standard is Jesus Christ. So, you know, getting our eyes off ourselves and getting our eyes off of our sin, you know, when we start walking around saying, I'm going to try not to sin today, or I'm going to try not to be sinful today, we become sin conscious. And we never make it. We always fail. But when we get our eyes off of that and get our eyes on Jesus, we become Christ conscious. And we look at what he's done, and we look at what he's done for us, and then we realize who we are. Wow. If I believe by faith, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, and I'm going to spend eternity with this loving God. And like I say, I've been talking the last couple of Sundays about how if you don't understand, your whole life is governed by how you view God. If you view God as a wrathful, vengeful, I'm going to get you God, you're going to run around scared and on your knees all the time and thinking, have I prayed enough, have I done enough, that maybe God will love me and forgive me. But if you look at God as who he is, who the Bible reveals, because Jesus here in the book of John is telling us about the Father. He's revealing the Father to the people on earth. The religious people at the time have their own little religion. How many people in here have been adversely affected by religion? Raise your hand. We all have. We all have. We've heard lies and lies and lies, and we take them as truths. You know? And we've all been, I'm convinced that religion, organized religion, is the biggest impediment for someone coming to know who God is. Because they don't understand that God is a good God. He's going to call himself here in a minute, and I'm going to go over the seven things. He's going to call himself a shepherd. And he's going to put something in front of that. I'm the good shepherd. What? There's bad shepherds out there too. What do bad shepherds do? They beat the sheep. They don't feed the sheep. They run the sheep in the ground. They abuse the sheep. They take from the sheep. The good shepherd gives for the sheep. He leads them beside still waters where they won't fall in and drown. He leads them in green pastures, not dry pastures where you're going to, I got nothing to eat out here. He's good. God is good. And when you realize that, you walk in that and go, you start expecting good things to happen, Shambrake. And you quit worrying about all the stuff. Because if you look at the world, it's crazy out there, isn't it, guys? It's absolutely lunatic, upside down, crazy. And it's getting crazier. But God is getting more and more loving, and it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Many are going to see him. Many are going to open their eyes and start looking away from religion and looking to the God that loves them. And so, real quick, before we get into John 8, the seven I am statements that Jesus says in the book of John, there's seven of them. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He was the bread. If you remember the Old Testament stories when he fed them the manna in the wilderness, how did he do it? Every day. Every day. He sustained them. Did they have to go out and work? No, they just went and picked it up. They probably walked right outside their tent. There's a nice piece of, what's your favorite bread, Jeff? My favorite bread would be, yeah, your favorite bread is sitting right there. Actually, and it's got butter and garlic on it, and it's really good. And, now Jesus is coming along and saying, hey, remember that? I'm here. I'm the one that fed you in the wilderness. I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you'll never go hungry again. He says, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Here again, talking spiritually. Good to see you, Cynthia. So, I am, that's the first I am. I am the bread of life. Then he says, I am the light of the world. Imagine we had no spirit of God in this world. Imagine that God was not in this world. Imagine how dark this place would be. It would be so dark, it would be unbelievable. I am the door. Third thing he says, I am the door. This is all said in the book of John. I am the door. What does he mean by that? You got to go through me if you want to see the Father. Anybody else tries to go in any other way is a thief. He is the door. What does he say? Knock. He's knocking. Open the door. He'll come in Revelation. Okay? He's never not going to, if you're knocking, he's never going to lock the door and say, go away. He's always saying, come. All who will, come. Here he is. I am the good shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Protects you, lays down his life for you, right? Feeds you, gives you something to drink, takes care of you, makes sure you're safe, comfortable. Yeah, keeps you together. What happens when one sheep goes astray? He leaves the others and goes after the one. Wow, what kind of love is that? Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. Okay? So we live in that. We when we say we believe in God, we reckon ourselves dead, and now we're alive in Christ the same way that he was buried in the tomb and rose. We now have buried that old unbelief and that old self. Not that we're perfect on our own, but we're perfect in him. Okay, so the sixth one he says is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That about covers it, doesn't it? The way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I am the vine. We're going to talk about that, abiding in him. And how do we abide? Because when I used to read the Bible, I would read it under a mixed grace message. I would read it under a mixed message. I would read the Bible that there's something I got to do now. And when it said abide in him, I would go, that's going to be kind of difficult for me. Because I'm kind of a guy that likes to act out a little bit. I'm a rebel at heart. You know, I make fun of this, but and Jennifer laughs every time I say this, but you know, the signs out there that puts your speed limit up there, you know? Every time I see one, I'm like, watch this. Get on my motorcycle and just run it up. How about that? And so I'm like, what, did I fail? Yeah. You violated the law, dude. Write your ticket, go to jail. And you know, and God comes along and says, calm down, bro. I got you. Okay, take it easy. You're going to kill yourself. I'm like, yeah, you're right, Lord. So let's go into John chapter 8 real quick. We left off at verse 30. The last thing, he was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, when you lift me up, You lift me up, I'm going to draw all men to myself. So what does he mean by when you're lifted up? On the cross. When you're lifted up on the cross, I'm going to draw all men to myself. So many believed in him. So verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Make you free. If you know Jesus, you are free indeed. What are you free from? You're free from being a sinner. You're free from condemnation. You're free from guilt. You're free from shame. You're free to walk in him. You're free to be you. You mean I can be me? Yeah, God loves you just like you are. He created you with your feelings, your emotions. You can be you. Never heard a pastor tell you that, have you? Yeah, relax. He loves you. He's never disappointed in you. He can't be. It's impossible. He already knows what you're going to do before you do it, what you're going to say before you say it, what you're going to think before you think it. Here, when we go through the Gospels, you're going to see Jesus looking over at the religious people and going, I know what you're thinking. They're like, how do you know what I'm thinking? You don't get it, do you? I'm God. I know what you're thinking. You want to kill me. Who said we want to kill you? Come on. They plotted to kill him from day one. Remember when he was born and King Herod heard about it? What do? Kill every kid under age of two. Just make sure we get that one. You know, there was a famous drug dealer in South America that used to do that. His name was Pablo Escobar. I joke about my wife being kin to him. And it drives her crazy every time. I say, yeah, Pablo Escobar's granddaughter. I'm like, really? And they're like, really? I'm like, well, she's from Colombia. And they halfway believe me when I say it. But Pablo Escobar used to do the same thing. He put a bomb on an Avianca flight leaving Medellin, Colombia, to get one person. It was a member of the Colombian Congress. He planted the bomb, or he had his people do it, and it was an altitude bomb, so it would go off at a certain altitude. When the plane reached a certain altitude, the bomb would explode. Well, the congressman he was mad at, he was trying to kill, was late and didn't make the plane. And 130 people died. 130 people died. Just trying to get one. So here's King Herod, and he's heard about this king born of the Jews. And he's threatened by it. From day one, they plotted to kill him. And now he's coming along and telling the Pharisees, I'm the one that Moses wrote about. I'm the one that Abraham sought to see, and he did see me. They're like, how is that possible? Abraham's been dead for hundreds of years. How did he see you? And Jesus is going to explain all this. And so Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Now, what does that word abide mean? If you look it up in the Greek, the word is meno, and I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but it's meno. Abide in the Greek is meno. Sometimes I go back to the Greek try to get the closest definition I can get to that word. It can imply a permanent dwelling, not just a temporary visit. You catching me here? A permanent dwelling, not just a temporary visit, suggesting a close and constant union. Did you hear that? Close and constant. God is close and constant to you. He's not some distant God that we got to get on our knees and look up to heaven and go, hey, God, if you hear me, he's right here. He's in your heart. The Spirit of the Lord indwells in you once you put your faith in him. And he never leaves. Well, Chuck, I had a bad day last week and I cussed somebody out and I got drunk and I violated the law and I did all. He's still with you. Well, Chuck, I went to the strip club and I got you. Yeah, you took him in there with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's with you wherever you go. So it's a close and constant union. This is often used in a spiritual sense, like abiding in Christ. That's what that word means, abiding. And I used to take that and I would just drive me crazy. It's kind of like the verse that said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Well, how do I do that? I haven't endured a lot of things in my life. I've given up on a lot of stuff. Anybody ever given up on something? I'm like, this is just too hard. It's too much. It's not worth my time. I don't want to do it anymore. I give up. Even in life when you give up, God is still there saying, I haven't given up on you. And you're still mine. You're mine by the new birth. You've been born again. You're a new creation. The Bible says you're a new creation. The old's gone. You're a new creation. Now you're righteous and holy and blameless. Understand who you are. Set apart. Set apart, sanctified. Understand who you are. Totally forgiven. You're not, you see, it's not this, you know, here it again. Well, I'm 50% forgiven. And I'm 50%, no, 100%. Well, how about my future sins? We talk about this, but I have to revisit it every Sunday because there's new people here. Future sins. What about my future sins? 100% forgiven. All your sins were future when he died 2,000 years ago. It took me a while to figure that out because I'm a little slow. What? How did I say that again? Yeah, all your sins were future when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he looked into the future and he saw Joey and he said, you're going to sin, but I'm going to pay it because you're mine. Now just believe in me and you will abide in me. That's what it means to abide in him. Every day we're out cutting trees. Every day you're up at that tree. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. It's the number one hazardous job and my tree cutter's over here. And they're like, anything could happen. But God is with you that whole time. He's with you. When you get frustrated, he's with you. When you get angry, he's with you. God's perfectness is made, his strength is made perfect in our what? Weakness. Some people know the Bible. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. In other words, when we get out of the way, he shows up. Let me handle this for you. You dealing with an issue? You dealing with a problem? Give it to him. Let me handle this for you. Yeah. Yeah, boom. Boom. Don't worry. Do not worry. They answered him, verse 33. I swear we are never going to get through the book of John. I had full intentions to go all the way to verse 59. There's 59 verses in chapter 8. I hope you guys are doing your homework. Every Sunday, y'all should read in the book of John. Read ahead. And I know I'm way behind, but they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. How many religious people out there say that? Well, do you know who my dad? I can say that. I can legit say that. Do you know who my great, great grandfather was? He was a distinguished Southern Baptist preacher. You know who my great-grandfather was? He was a distinguished Southern Baptist preacher, pastor of the First Baptist Church, Augusta, Georgia, pastor of the First Baptist Church, West Palm Beach, Florida. Big churches, big, big, big. Like Charles Stanley stuff. I could claim my pedigree. Well, I'm a descendant of Albert Warren Height. Then my dad comes along. 40 years, pastor of First Baptist Church, Swainsboro, Georgia, pastor of First Baptist Church, Washington, Georgia, pastor of First Baptist Church, Royston, Georgia. Then I can go to my uncles, pastor of First Baptist Church, Statesboro, Georgia. I can go on and on and on. Well, that's what they're doing here. These religious people are going, hey, look here, this Jesus guy. We are Abraham's descendants. In other words, We're somebody. You ain't nobody. You ain't nobody. Where do you come from? In fact, they're going to tell him here in a minute, they're really going to curse him in a way by saying he's illegitimate son, by saying he was born in fornication. Y'all remember the story? Mary was found pregnant before Joseph and Mary got together. They're going to say he was born of fornication. What is fornication? Sex before marriage. Woo! You're illegit, dude. You can't be God. There's no way you can possibly be God. You were born in sin. Actually, he's the answer for sin. And so, we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Now, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer sinners. We are saints. Here again, don't get confused. Yeah, we're still going to sin. But God has paid our sin debt, so we are 100% forgiven. Does that mean we're going to walk around and just create havoc? No, that's not what we want to do. We want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, kindness. That's what we want to do naturally. We are people that naturally want to pour out love and help people and do things. That's why we get taken advantage of a lot. The world looks at us as weak when really we're the strongest people on earth. We're the most secure people on earth. We can have the most peace now. Not just, everybody thinks about having peace one day. Well, maybe when I get my life together, Catherine. Yeah, maybe when I retire, maybe when I have $1 million in the bank, guys, I can have peace. No, you can have it now. Pull that cat, pull that lever. Boom, I want that. Yeah, amen. Amen. So they're like a slave. It says, Jesus, surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Do you hear that? He who abides in him. How do you abide in him? He keeps you, his faithfulness. He said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to create you, and I'm going to form you in your mother's womb. I'm going to make you, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart as you trust in the Lord. And he says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, I will give you the desires of your heart. A son abides. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And Jesus says in 37, I know you're Abraham's descendants. Come on. I know this stuff, right? I wrote this stuff. You know, in fact, everything in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation was written about me. You guys don't get it yet. I'm trying to tell you who I am, but you're not listening. How many times is God reaching out to people out there and revealing himself to them, but they don't listen? They'd rather go get a little chapter box of religion. And I wonder one time why religion attracts so many people, because I think it gives them a sense of community, a sense of belonging. It's kind of like I drive a Honda motorcycle. I rode it in today. If I had some Harleys here, I can't ride with those guys. Oh, you got a Harley. I forgot about it. I can't ride with the Harley guys. Why not? You're not in the club, man. You don't have the right bike. You're not dressed right. You got to get on some boots and, you know, and you got to go drink a beer with us and smoke a cigarette. You got to be in the club, man. And you got to go beat up somebody or whatever their requirements are. You know, I talked about how religion is not just religion of God, it's religion of other things. Environmentalists are religion, very religious people. Environmentalists, gangs. Why do people join gangs? It gives them a sense of belonging. I can associate with you. You look like me. You talk like me. We kind of have the same, we're from the same kind of area, we look, our skin's the same color, and we start getting in these little places where we feel safe instead of going to our Lord who sets us free from all that. I talked about it before, but you want to go out to eat with somebody sometime, a group of people, and watch what everybody orders. Everybody's getting steak and salad and soup. And then when they get to you, I'd like a fish. Huh? What? Everybody's eating steak, bro. What's wrong with you? And it's that same thing, sense of belonging, sense of community. And Jesus is saying, look, I am the way, the truth, and the light. You are a son. You're abiding in me. And he says, you're free indeed. You can do whatever you want. You can eat steak or you can eat fish. I don't really care. What do you want? I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Have they said they're going to kill him yet? Well, how does he know this? He knows. Amen. He knows. Read Psalm 139. Your homework is read Psalm 139. Write it down. Psalm 139, about how intimately God is acquainted with you and knows you and loves you. Psalm 139, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Psalm 139, I read it almost every week. I used to read it every day. I almost got it memorized. How intimately God is acquainted with you. And it's really a psalm of Jesus. And when you read it from the perspective that this is written, this is who Jesus is and how well he knows you. He says, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. It's going to get really, really hostile here in a minute. Because he's going to call them out, and he's going to tell them they are of their father, the devil. He's going to get really, really honest with them here. And so here he goes. He says, I do what my father shows me. In fact, he says, I can only do what I see my father do. That I see him do, I do. And he's going to call them out here, and he says, you do not, and you do what you've seen your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What are the works of Abraham? Good things, kind things. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Abraham did not seek to kill me. In fact, Abraham, when you read the story, you go back to Genesis chapter 12, Melchizedek is a theophany, is what they call it in the Old Testament, appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Abraham gives Melchizedek a tenth. Why would he do that? Because he's the Lord. And that was the Old Testament law. And so he gave Melchizedek a tenth. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, that word means peace. He's the king of peace. And he appears to Abraham. They're going to call him out here. And he says, you do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. So they're calling Jesus out saying, you were born out of wedlock, dude. You were born of fornication. And we have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. And he goes on to say, you, and here's where he calls him out. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. Imagine calling certain religious groups around here of their father, the devil. And I'm not just saying Mormons, Catholics, Baptist, whatever religious group you want to choose. It's all religion. You know? You know, none is worse than the other. They're all bad. They're all trying to put something on you to put you into a little group of people that can only do certain things certain ways. And if you don't, you're not a part of us anymore. In fact, we'll kick you out. We'll excommunicate you. We won't even let you come back. They'll close the door in your face unless you do what I tell you to do. And then another man comes along and he invents another little religion. And then another man comes along and he invents another little religion. And that's how you end up with 5,000 different religions in the world, because everybody's trying to follow a man instead of the man, Jesus. And here he is telling the Jews, or telling the Pharisees here, you're of your father the devil. Everybody knows what the Pharisees were. They were the religious people of the time. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we used to call them the Sadducees, this old joke that went around. We called the Sadducees because they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Oh, that's sad. What he says, you do to the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer. Your father was a murderer. So here's Jesus saying, excuse me, you're calling me born of fornication. You're calling me nothing good can come out of Nazareth. You're calling me all these things. Let me correct you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am that I am. I am God in the flesh in front of you, but you refuse to believe in me. He says, your father was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. I might can finish this. I don't know. It's a lot. Maybe we'll come back next Sunday. I could do this all day, really. I could sit here and we could go through the Bible all day and we could talk about things. This is what we're going to do more when I've got four more weeks at the school. We'll have Christmas. And then come January, we're going to do some midweek stuff, you know, and just do some different groups. We've got our different groups coming in. You know, I want to do some things for the kids, okay? You look around the church, where's the future? The kids, right? The young people. They're the future. And when I say the church, I mean whoever believes. How do you become a member of your church, Chuck? You can't. You need to be born again. Born again. Then you're a member of the church. Of the church. God's church. You know, and God, and Jesus in here repeatedly talks about, he gets misunderstood because they are still thinking in the physical. We have to learn to think in the spiritual. We walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And when you're walking by the Spirit, crazy things will happen. Things you cannot explain. Good things will happen. And you'll go, how did that happen? The Lord. He has favor on you. You go, why are you blessing me? I'm not perfect. I'm blessing you because you're mine. How does he bless us? He gives us peace. He gives us rest. Because, you know, here again, religion out there will tell you, oh, you're blessed because you got a brand new Mercedes in the parking lot and you got a $5 million house on the mountain and you got a ski vacation coming up. You get, no, that's not blessing. That's not blessings. That's more bondage stuff. That's like, I got to pay for that. I got to work harder. He says, relax, rest in me. Trust me. I'm going to take you through it all. day by day by day by day. And when it gets difficult, and I've been there, guys. I'm not a pastor up here talking to you that went to seminary and got a master's degree in theology and then went on and did this and all that. And I'm a pastor from the School of Hard Knocks. I've been in the gutter before. I've been sitting on the side of my bed with a half gallon of Jack Daniels down in my body, drunk out of my mind, with an AK-47 laying across my lap, saying, I could just finish myself right now. And if you'd have looked at me at that time in my life, I was a federal agent. I had a wife, three kids, a home with an in-ground swimming pool. Boy, I was successful, according to the world. And everybody thought I was just great. But deep down inside, I was torn apart. But through it all, God says, I got you. I'm going to bring you through this deep, dark place. And he has every step of the way. Sometimes it was minute by minute. I just need to make it another 60 seconds. Have you been there? I just need to make it another 60 seconds. God, can you please help me? And then maybe I just need to make it through the day. You know, I tell some of my testimonies sometimes. I used to go to bed crying at all the stuff I thought I had disappointed. I had disappointed God, and my life was just not where it was, where I wanted it to be and where I thought it should be. And I would go to bed crying and just on my face, pouring my whole life. And then you think that was bad? Well, I would get up in the morning, and before I even got out of bed, I was crying. You been there? So you're not talking to somebody who hadn't been there. And I can tell you what he's done in my life. And I'm going to speak truth. And I'm going to speak the truth of who he is. And God keeps revealing, and this is what's going to happen, guys. When you're studying and when you're seeking him, he's going to reveal more and more of who he is. And you're going to start seeing more and more grace. And you're going to put a smile on your face. And you're going to have this big smile. And you're going to be walking around and people going, what are you so happy about? He's like Carlitos down in El Salvador, my friend. His wife, his sister married an attorney. And they got a lot of money. But she never really had any peace because she was in this mixed gospel religion message where she's got to work, 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 work. And here's Carlitos just walking around, happy, got no money, don't have a dollar in his pocket. She asked him, why are you so happy? God loves me. And he's with me. And I'm happy. And she's like, I want that. I want that. So just keep seeking him. Keep seeking him. Keep praying. And we pray. And when we pray, it's not like, you know, this is how many people were taught to pray like this? You know, or, you know, there's no certain way to pray. I pray driving down the road with my eyes wide open. I'm praying. I'm praying in the spirit. And God is speaking to me and revealing things to me. And he does to you. And he's going to tell you everything you need to do to be successful in life. And he's going to give you the way, the truth, and the life, because he is that. And you walk where he walks, and you do what he says. And sometimes, like yesterday, I don't know where it's going to go, but God led me to a house to look at a motorcycle. My wife is like, you don't need another motorcycle. I said, yeah, I know. And I'm like, go look at a motorcycle. And I start telling this guy, he's a former Green Beret, former Special Forces, and he's a Christian. He's a believer. And he's talking about starting a discipleship group. And I said, well, I kind of do that. We kind of do that down in El Salvador. Let's team together. And I'm just saying, okay, maybe God brought me here for that reason. You never know. You never know. Now, I can know times in my life when I've been really hurting and really sad. Somebody out of the blue will come up to me and say something, and I'll walk away and go, what just happened? Yeah. Somebody just spoke the truth to me, and the love of God came through it. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Repentance meaning knowing who he is. Not repentance, meaning how it's said in religious groups that you have to repent of your sins. Repent of your sins is never found in the Bible. That's works-based religion. Try doing that. Try repenting of your sins. Let me know how it works out for you. I would be on my knees 24/7, 365. Now you become sin conscious again. No, become Christ conscious. You're free. You have no more sin. Amen? Father, thank you for this time to be in the Word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for paying our debt on the cross, Lord, that we can live free and we can live in you and we can walk in you and we can be who we are and you love us and you're showing kindness and mercy to us every day. And we love you, God, for who you are, not just what you can do for us, but for who you are. You're the Most High, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. And we rejoice in that. And Lord, just be with us as we go this week, as we know you will be. Go before us. Surround us. Hedge us like you hedged David. Before and behind, with your love and your grace and your mercy, Lord. And let us feel the presence of you walking with us every day this week and into the night and 24/7. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.